The idea of traveling life with the issue that so oftentimes we carry so much baggage with us in life that we don't really need to. We talked about how sometimes it's about just letting stuff go. Stuff can begin to own us more than us owning it. And so that can be a great challenge for us, just to let go of stuff. I shared with you about the fact that my kids are coming in for Christmas, and one of their gifts to me is to help us get rid of stuff, which we're looking forward to, because that means we can get rid of that punching bag that belongs to Elijah. We can get rid of those books that belong to Lauren. We got so much stuff of theirs that will clean out the house, just if they take those things with them. But that's one of the things, just getting rid of stuff. Sometimes it's the distractions, the things that start to kind of cloud and crowd into our lives. And just being able to let go of those, we talked about that. Last week we talked about letting go of bitterness and holding on to the things that can weigh us down emotionally. Today we want to talk about something which is so simple, it seems like, and yet it can be insidious in the way that it begins to become a part of our life. It's not easy to let go of this, that area of control. Now, I know what you're saying, and this is on the notes a little bit down there further, but it's not that you try to control, you just try to be helpful. I don't know if you've ever done that or not. You know what would really work best, so you just want to be helpful to let people know what would be the best solution. Well, we want to look at this within the context of Christmas, but also the way in which that struggle that we have, both spiritually and even in the holiday season, can sometimes flare up. How can we deal with this? So it starts in the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." That's a nice message. I mean, it would be encouraging to someday some angel just appears from nowhere and begins to speak to you and says, "Greetings, you are favored, God is with you." Sometimes we need that encouragement. The issue perhaps for Mary is that she doesn't understand why she's favored yet. That's why you see the next three words: confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. See, whenever an angel comes, it can be confusing. Why? Even though we would long for that at sometimes, this angel is kind of, why is this angel here? Mary doesn't know. Whenever we did the song, "Mary, did you know?" No. At this point in time, she did not know. She couldn't figure out what was taking place. Why is this angel here? What is there that's different? What's going to happen? And sometimes whenever we don't know what's going to happen, we kind of want to find out. We want to be able to fix it. We want to be able to prepare for it. As Ron said in his meditation, we try to look ahead and make plans, whether it be budget or schedules or calendars. And yet there's so much about life we really don't know what to expect. And there are times in our lives we, like Mary, can become confused and disturbed. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Or as the English Standard Version puts it, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let it be to me. She's not trying to say, "Wait a second, what are you saying?" She doesn't ask for more details because there's so many things she doesn't know. She's just simply submitting herself and surrendering herself to the plans that God has for her life. There are times in our life when things happen and we begin to think, is this what I thought my life would be like? And Mary's at that turning point in her life. Her life has dramatically changed at this point in time. She had hopes and dreams, just like we all do. I mean, we all have hopes and dreams, trying to make sure that we are able to take care for our children, trying to make sure we can provide a home, we can give them the support, we can try to help them, you know, find their wings as well as giving them roots, as the saying goes. We want to be able to help guide them and influence them. So we talk to them about what they wear, about how their hair looks and how it's done. We try to encourage them with the ACT and the SAT. We try to help them figure out a major in college that really fits within the niche of how they understand things. We try to influence our children. We try to influence the people that we love. We try to influence our spouses. You know, where are we going to go? We discuss our directions about things, how we're going to get there, how we're going to drive. Even to the point there are some people who are able to finish each other's sandwiches. I'm sorry, sentences. We watched Frozen again recently, which if you don't know that song, you have no idea that joke. Anyway, there are times in our lives whenever we truly want what is best, and we begin to build up a certain sense of expectation or assumption or desires for how we want things to be. And yet there are many times in our lives whenever we approach our relationship with God, it's that we want what God has for us, but we want it now. When we want it, how we want it. We struggle with control. In fact, you probably have experienced at some time or another the social control issue that we all deal with and how people perceive us. We want people to perceive us certain ways. And that's why it's so hard for people to really know where you stand, perhaps, on some issues. In the last election, one of the things that found that certain pollsters and survey takers realized is that people were not telling them the truth about who they were going to vote for. So they came out, according to our polls and statistics, this is the way the election's going to go. But it didn't go that way because when they were asking questions about who they voted for, the social pressure had become so big, they didn't want to be honest with this stranger about who they voted for, and they got bad data whenever they were trying to put this together because of the image that it puts up. There are things that people don't agree with that's taking place in our society, but they're afraid to say anything because they're afraid of how people will think about themselves. I mean, social media is not our best friend because often we try to make sure we portray ourselves the best we can. One of the most interesting sites that you can go to is the Instagram or Pinterest fails. Whenever they have all these gloriously the cakes and things like that that are decorated so well, and they tell you how to do it, and then people try to do it, and it just doesn't work the same way. But there's that image that we want to try to fit into. You want people to see the life you want them to see. So you're seeing everybody on their best day on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You don't always see them on their worst. They're filtered. They're edited. I mean, they may take 23 attempts to find just the perfect selfie, the perfect family photo, because they want people to think of them in a certain way. And the issue is that cycle of control builds where the more we try to control things, the more afraid we are we're going to lose control. And the more we begin to lose control, the more afraid we are we're going to try. So we try to have more control because we're afraid we're going to lose control. Then we lose control and it just continues over and over and over again because we have expectations. Christmas season is difficult because of expectations and assumptions of what things will be like. I was talking with a family that's visiting here in the Denver area. Some family members, they were from Mississippi. And I asked them, well, what are you going to do while you're here? Are you going to try to go up into the mountains? They said, we're not real sure. My aunt is in charge of the calendar. So I'm not sure what we're doing. Okay. Well, we may go here. We're just kind of waiting to see. Why? Because They don't control their calendar, and they know that. But there are times that you may. As a child, I can remember many times creating a Christmas list. I would give to my parents to give to Santa. So make sure I don't say too much there. I don't want to pop anybody's bubble. But we come up with a list of things we hope to be able to get. This is what I want. This is what I expect. And whenever families get together, you might have this picture. Oh, we're going to have a wonderful Norman Rockwell dinner. We're all going to sit around the table and everything's going to be fine. But then something happens and it goes so far off. And you are reminded you don't have control. No matter how much you want what you want, you don't have control. And that desire to control is rooted in a lack of faith. I want control because I don't trust God to take care of things the way I want them to be done. And that's really what it comes down to. That goes back even to the garden. Whenever Adam and Eve were tempted, they were tempted with the idea, you can become like God. You can have your own choice. You can begin to decide how things are going to be and try to have some control. There's a desire for us to be able to say, I'm going to be like God and be able to have control and be able to do things. But you can't. We tend to overestimate our ability to control. And when we do that, we underestimate the power of God. We need to be able to recognize the power that God has and how He is working on our benefit. You don't always have the power to control things, but you always have the power to surrender. There are times I feel like we become so accustomed and so familiar with stories. I think what Ron said is very true. Being able to sit down with your family and simply read the Christmas story. But for many of us over the years, we begin to lose a connection to the humanness of those events. To remember that Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, the families who lost children because of Herod's edict to try to kill the children, hoping to kill Jesus, all of these things, we forget the human element. Mary was a teenage girl. Understanding the historical context and the traditions at that time culturally, Mary was a teenage girl, and suddenly God tells her she's going to have a child, even though she is a virgin. She probably had some dreams and some ideas. In her mind, she may have watched enough Disney princess movies that someday she had a dream her prince would come. And everything would be perfect with love's kiss. She probably dreamed of some prince charming that she would know from there in Nazareth where she lived, and the chance that he would come riding up someday. And he would look at her and she would look at them, and suddenly they would just be able to tell there was love. Butterflies would begin to fly within their stomachs, but also around them. And perhaps into a wonderful little circle if it's truly a Disney movie. But through all of this, there's that dream. She's looking for that perfect guy. She's looking for that guy who is strong yet gentle. Sensitive yet manly. Who loves his mother but is not too much of a mama's boy. Who has the ability to understand how to take care of her and yet not dominate her. To have that dream of what that, to have him be the greatest looking man in her eyes. And this is the thing. She thought she had found him. She'd come to know Joseph, and they were looking forward to being able to get married. There were dreams. What was this going to be like? Maybe we can get married. Maybe we can get married at the Jerusalem Botanical Gardens amongst all the flowers. You know, and we'll have all of the family in. We'll have wonderful for cake. We'll have some great gefilte fish and all of these things. Will be a great time of celebration, you know. And it, you know, if our son was coming sooner, we could have some good wine, but he's not going to be here yet. So all these things in her, she's imagining what this is going to be like. What is our marriage going to be so wonderful? We'll be able to grow up. We'll be able to have children that'll help. He's going to be a carpenter, and so our kids will be able to grow up being able to work with their hands and yet have a gentle wisdom that they learn from their father and mother. I mean, these are things that she may have dreamed about how he would propose to her and just the wonderful way so he could be captured and posted on Instagram so everyone could see the love that they have for each other. And then this angel shows up. Says, put the brakes on, Mary. You're favored by God. What? She's confused. What's going on? You're going to have a baby. I'm not married. I've never been with a man. God's going to do this. It doesn't say she resisted. We don't know anything about Mary up to this point in time other than her relationship to Elizabeth, but we don't really know anything about her. God has chosen this woman, some elevated her to great heights, but we really don't know that much other than the fact that she was submissive to God. This is God's plan. Let it be. Now, it'd be a temptation. There are things, times whenever something goes on in our lives, and whenever God blesses us that way, we want to go, God, let me be. But instead, she says, let it be. Okay, God. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you as best I possibly can. I mean, there are events in our life that are cataclysmic or seismic in some ways. Whenever a company decides to downsize, and you're one of the people that are being sized down, maybe you haven't slept. If you wake up in the middle of the night and your mind just starts to race because of relationships issues, financial issues, family issues, so many different things that can keep us awake at night because we don't know what's going to happen and we don't know how we can control it. Maybe it's facing a health challenge. How are you going to get through this? How can you survive this? Maybe it's dealing with a loss that you can't hardly accept. The grief is overwhelming. I mean, every day we face difficulties. I mean, the kids may be fighting. Things may be hard at work because of the way that someone treats you. You may have burned dinner. I mean, it's Christmas time. You may have some crazy people showing up at your house that are related to you. There may be that one uncle who always seems to bring his own beverages and drinks a little bit too much of them. And then you have all these people here and you're trying to get to church for the Christmas Eve service, but it's hard to get them out the door so you can get to church. And you're afraid they're going to embarrass you when you get to church. Maybe you have plans and suddenly things start to get canceled. Like Mary, you may not know the end of the story. And that can be hard. You may not always have the power to control, but you always have the power to surrender. Mary has to make a choice between her plans and God's purpose, between her dreams and God's destiny, between her desire for control and God's calling. And even though she doesn't understand the plan, she chooses to trust that God has a purpose. And that's what God calls all of us to trust His plan for our life, even though we don't know what it is. We don't know what next year will bring. We don't know what joys and sorrows are just around the calendar. We don't know. We have to be able to trust God. Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She's willing to surrender. There is no such thing as partial surrender. Whenever it comes to God, it's all in or you're not. whenever I was growing up. And I can remember we had a fence in the neighborhood. And in our neighborhood, we had, there was my brother and I, and the neighbors across the alley, there were four brothers there. Across the street, there were two more brothers. Up the road, there were three brothers. Up the block the other way, there were a couple of other brothers. Whenever we would get together at night, a lot of times we would play, you know, hide and seek. And it may take 3 hours till it's really dark. You know, and even then, you're not sure if they're still hiding or they've just disappeared somewhere. Because you're still, I mean, it was a great neighborhood with all the things. We could play sports, we could play baseball, football, basketball, all these different kinds of things. But I can remember there was this one fence, and there was one time I was going to climb over it. And as I began to climb over it, I suddenly realized as I got one leg over it, my foot was caught on one side. And I couldn't get my other foot back over. And so I was literally sitting on the fence. It is not a comfortable position, I can tell you from personal experience. Okay, and I wasn't sure, my foot was twisted this way because it was stuck in where I'd kind of put my foot. And the other foot was like, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. Finally, my brother saw me. He came over, grabbed my foot, pulled it out of there, and threw it over the fence, and I followed. But there's, you can't go halfway with God. It's too uncomfortable. No one can serve two masters. You have to make a choice. You either go all in. You can't go 85% all in. It's like, if you're going to jump in a pool, you might as well go ahead and cannonball. Because you ever try to jump into a pool with one foot on the edge and the rest of the and the other foot in the water? It doesn't work. And that's the way it is with God. You can't partially surrender to God. You can't say, okay, I'm going to surrender almost everything. And I know historically, there were Roman soldiers, whenever they came to accept Jesus, it became a custom for a period of time because of the way that they were thinking. They accepted Jesus, but they understood they were soldiers. And as soldiers, they had duties to perform that might cause them to kill someone. And so whenever they would be baptized, they would hold their hands out of the water. This hand, because that's the hand they held their sword with. Because even though they were being baptized, there was part of them that was still going to sin. So they had to do that. There are some people that would say nowadays, whenever people are baptized, there are still people that'll do this, but they're not holding a sword. They're holding their wallet. I'll give almost everything. But you can't do that. It has to. Mary couldn't partially surrender. This was going to affect the rest of her life. And in our following God, it's going to affect the totality of our life. We have to learn to trust God in all things. There are times we can trust God, but there are some things we're not so sure He's going to do what He says. I know He tells us to go out and make disciples and to share our faith, but I'm not sure I know what to say. I know. You're going to tell me there's a Bible verse that says He'll give me the words, but I don't know if He'll really do that. So I'm not sure I want to. I know that God can save my soul, but I don't know if He can control my kids. I know He says He can save me, but I don't know if He can really forgive some of the stuff I've done. It's almost as if we say, God, if God really knew what I was like, He does. I trust God. I'm not sure what He's planning for the future, so I'm not sure how far to go, and that we have to learn. We said the desire to control is rooted in a lack of faith. We have to be willing to follow Jesus and surrender control, to trust Him. Say, let it be. Even though I don't understand what's happening, I will let it be. I will follow God. Even though I don't know what that future holds, I will still follow Him. Mary understood. It was explained that this was a child who was going to be unique. This was a child that was going to be holy, set apart, separated, sanctified. And this was a child who would bring salvation to humankind. And she would be giving birth to that child, but no one else would understand. She and Joseph would both become ridiculed. Even at a point in time, whenever Jesus spoke at the synagogue in Nazareth, there was a point in time whenever some people were saying, whenever he talked about how the scripture from Isaiah was being fulfilled with his being there and his being the Son of God, the Messiah, to which some people were going, isn't that Mary and Joseph's kid? You remember, he was the one, they weren't even married yet. And now he's it was still there. It would be there. When you overestimate your ability to control, you underestimate the power of God. One of the most freeing moments you can experience in life is whenever you let go of what you cannot change and you trust God. Scripture tells us when we find our lives, we will lose it. We follow Jesus, and that surrenders control. It isn't a one-time event. It's a daily choice to take up your cross daily. All the things that were, even as Jesus, how do you think Mary felt or Joseph, knowing who Jesus was, and yet whenever those neighborhood kids picked on him, whenever they didn't know where he was, they started searching the neighborhood, and she saw him on a cross. Jesus sets us an example. Even whenever he was praying the night before he was killed, whenever he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Let it be. God, let your choice, let it be. God can do more with your surrender than he can with your attempts to control. In this season, I'm not sure what you have planned, what items are on your menu, or what you're thinking your life is going to be like, but I want to encourage you. Let this be a celebration where you find peace in God, knowing that He is in control and having your faith in Him. No matter what strange twists and turns your life may take, God has a purpose in His plan.